At this point, no complete dinosaur skeleton had been found anywhere in the world, so no one really knew what a dinosaur looked like.
Well, of course, at first, all they had was the teeth, and they really had no idea what the rest of the animal looked like.
Eventually, the past reveals its wonderful and glorious secret.
Imagine not knowing that dinosaurs ever existed. That was the scenario when Marianne Mantell was out one day and noticed two small rocks on the side of the road. Dr. Paul Barrett, in the paleontology department at the Natural History Museum, explained to me how those rocks changed everything.
Mary Ann Mantell was the wife of one of the most famous dinosaur hunters from the early part of the history of dinosaur studies, which was Gideon Mantell. And Gideon Mantell was a country doctor based in Lewes in Sussex, and his real passion when he wasn't being a doctor was actually being an amateur geologist. Mary Mantell was with Gideon on one of his visits to a patient, was sitting in the carriage, spotted something interesting glinting in a pile of rubble by the side of the road, went to investigate and found these amazing teeth. And what we have here are two teeth. The teeth are fairly large.
So they're about the size of your thumb?
Something like that, yes. And they're both still embedded in blocks of rock. So the discovery of these teeth, together with the discovery of another animal, Megalosaurus, in Oxford, were really what kick-started the entire study of dinosaurs and the realisation that this huge group of extinct animals once roamed the Earth.
Mantell tried to work out what the teeth belonged to by comparing them to living species like rhinoceros and even fish. But when someone showed him some teeth of an iguana, he spotted the similarity immediately. They were just about 10 times the size.
I think he immediately realised he had something new. The comparisons he did with the iguana teeth showed that they were very similar to those of an iguana, which led him to think that this was a giant plant-eating reptile. And that itself was an amazing revelation, because the only plant-eating reptiles today are fairly small. Iguanas are quite big as lizards go, but they're still only a few feet long, whereas this, he estimated, might have been from an animal up to 60 feet in length. So he surmised that this was an extinct, gigantic, herbivorous lizard. So we know this is a plant-eating reptile because it has little serrations around the edges of the teeth. In a meat eater, those serrations look very much like a steak knife. And they're of an animal that was named Iguanodon.
Oh, the shark babe has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white.
But what did Iguanodon look like in life? And how do you go from a pair of teeth to knowing the shape of the rest of the body? I met Suzanne Maidment, a dinosaur researcher at Imperial College, to look for one of them in the museum's dinosaurs gallery.
Now that's a big dinosaur.
Yeah, it is. They're huge, actually, aren't they? They're probably a couple of metres at the hips. So, yeah, you never really realise it until you come and stand in front of them like this. At first, all they had was the teeth, and they really had no idea what the rest of the animal looked like. So it was really a puzzling thing. And it wasn't until the 1880s when they actually started to discover complete skeletons. What happened was there was some coal miners in a mine in Belgium, and they uncovered what they thought initially was petrified wood, and they later discovered, as they carried on digging, that this was actually potentially a herd, but at least lots and lots of Iguanodon specimens all lying together, and all the bones were in the right place. So this was the first time that anybody had seen an Iguanodon with all its bits in the right place.
The teeth, and then the skeletons of this new animal, were both chanced on by non-experts. People like Carl James Langford, an amateur paleontologist I met on a rainy beach in Wales one day to look for something among the rocks.
Okay, careful.
Are we down?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's quite steep.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, the sea.
Ooh, the sea. Whoa. And one umbrella on the floor.
You're right. Wow, this is gorgeous.
In this gravelly bed to the right, okay, that's the type of area we need to look. Actually, what I want you to do, right, is find a dinosaur footprint for me now.
Right.
Look down on the floor.
Is that where you start?
Yeah, that's where you start.
I'm seeing flat rock. I'm seeing a few pools of water.
Yes. Look around some of those pools of water.
Wait a second. What's that?
You see that there? You can see the three toes. this is a footprint of an Ankylosaurus, which is a dinosaur about your height. So you're 5'10".
That's about right.
I'm 5'8", so it'd be around that size.
So some of the things we're learning about is how they actually stood. And that's something that everyone assumes we must know about, but actually we don't at all. In Iguanodon, they placed their feet in front of each other as they walked, whereas with Stegosaurus and Triceratops, they put their feet kind of out to the side. They had much wider bodies and they kind of waddled more as they walked. Today, of course, we have many more techniques available to us than just simply looking at the bones. Three-dimensional modelling, we can reconstruct the soft tissues, we put all the muscles back on, and then we're able to actually model the forces that the muscles were able to sort of transmit to the limbs to be able to pull them backwards and forwards. We can get a relatively good idea of were these animals quite fast movers, were they slow movers, and how were they compared to each other.
Okay, so we've got that one there. So if we look further over, be very careful, look at these. There's another one there. Okay.
Yeah, you could easily walk past that without noticing it.
Yes, you can. And there's another one there. And there's another one there, and there's another one there. Actually, to be honest with you, this is one of the only areas on the planet that you can actually find dinosaur footprints like this.
The word dinosaur hadn't been invented when these teeth were discovered. The word dinosaur was invented by Sir Richard Owen, the founder of the Natural History Museum, a few years later. And Richard Owen was the person who realised that a lot of these bones coming out of the rocks of southern England belonged to a new group of reptiles. And he formally coined the name dinosaur in 1842, drawing on the work of Mantell and others to come up with his idea.
Are there still fossils to find? Are there still new species to find?
We still get new dinosaurs even turning up in the UK on a fairly regular basis. So new dinosaurs have been named from the UK in the last 10 years, including some new meat eaters. And if we take a global view, around 50 or 60 new types of dinosaur are named every year. But also through going back through large museum collections and reassessing specimens that may not have been looked at for some time. So Iguanodon's actually a really good example of that. Just in the last 3 or 4 years, we have renamed at least 4 species that used to be Iguanodon as new different types of dinosaur. Some of the specimens are actually specimens that Mantell collected that are now subsequently been recognised as something completely different.
Eventually the past reveals its wonderful and glorious secrets. Wherever you've got rock, there's something in those rocks. So somewhere along here one day somebody might find a very rare dinosaur indeed, or a footprint of a dinosaur that's never been identified. But it comes about by amateurs actually finding these things and reporting them, and then for the professionals to take them very seriously. Everybody's got a chance of seeing a history and being part of history.
You can see Mantell's Iguanodon teeth and other mammoth icons that have changed our view of the natural world by visiting the Treasures Gallery at the Natural History Museum.